Okay, so let's learn a little Pirkei Avot, at the very least, the first Mishnah, and touch on the principles that I think are laid forth in this first Mishnah. Pirkei Avot is really a Masechet. It's a full tractate of Mishnayot. There are six chapters to it. Traditionally, and going back really a long, long time, it's mentioned all the way back, during the time period from Pesach until Shavuot, every week there's one chapter that we traditionally focused on. We studied a chapter each week. So it's appropriate. We learn a little bit from the first chapter this week. The first Mishnah is different than the rest of the whole corpus of Pirkei Avot. Because Pirkei Avot, usually translated as the ethics of our fathers or the chapters of our fathers, it has a lot to do with rebuke and ethics and morality, not so much in the nitty-gritty, the tedious laws of the other Mishnayot. When you think about Mishnah, you think about halakha, think about specifics, what to do and what not to do. When you think about Pirkei Avot, you think about Ezhu Ashir HaSameach BeChilko, who's rich, a person who's content with their portion. You think about matters of that sort. The second Mishnah, you know, don't be like Avadim HaMishamishim. The third Mishnah, like a slave who worships his master in order to receive a reward. Rather, worship your master without the intention of getting a reward. That's what Pirkei Avot deals with. Lots of important messages, lots of necessary ones. And that's what we study over the course of this time in our preparation for receiving the Torah. But I mentioned that the first Mishnah is a bit different than the rest of the Masechet and the rest of everything that's discussed afterwards. So I'd like to first read together with you the first Mishnah, point out a few difficulties or seeming difficulties in the Mishnah, and set forth what I believe is this underlying message of this first Mishnah. So here, together, we can read, it says, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. That's the way it starts. Moshe received the Torah at Sinai, umisarah liYehoshua, and he handed it to Yehoshua. VYehoshua, yeah, these pages are a little confusing because there's like three words on a page. So regardless, but it's good. Umisarah liYehoshua, and he handed it to Yehoshua. VYehoshua liZkenim, and Yehoshua in turn handed it off to what are known as the Zikenim. It means the leadership which followed Yehoshua's leadership. UZikenim liNeviim, and the Zikenim, these elders, again, leaders, handed it. Now, we're not talking about a physical handing. We're talking about a teaching, the principles of the Torah, the fundamentals of what it means to be a member of Am Yisrael. So they gave it to the Neviim. Unevim misarua le'anche kineset hagidola. Last generation mentioned in this first Mishnah is that the Neviim handed it to anche kineset hagidola, translated as the members of the Great Assembly. We'll talk about who they were as well. Hem amru shelosha devarim. They had three apparently noteworthy comments, this anche kineset hagidola, the end of this Mishnah. What were those three? Number one, hevu mitunim bedin. You should be matun, to be deliberate in deen, in judgment. Ha'amidu talmidim harbe, make certain that you establish many students. Va'asu siyag la Torah, and build a gate for the Torah. We'll deal with each and every one of those details and many others. Deliberate in judgment means, as I'm the judge, as I'm determining who's right and who's wrong, just be careful, be slow, listen to all the sides, make certain that you make a decision which isn't rash and too quick in terms of coming to the conclusion. That's the Mishnah. Again, the first and most glaring difficulty in this first Mishnah is, what does, and you're going to have to take my word for it.
This Mishnah is just a chapter. This is the whole Mishnah.
This is the first Mishnah in the Masechet. This is the first chapter, first Mishnah. Six chapters, on average 20 in a chapter. So this is the first of, go ahead.
This is in Pirkei Avot.
This is the first Mishnah. Pirkei Avot is Mishnayot. There's no Gemara on Pirkei Avot, right? Whereas many other Mishnayot have Gemara. Pirkei Avot does not.
Are not in the Gemara
elsewhere. Right. They'll be quoted from place to place. Sure. Mishnayot. Mishnayot is what we call, you know, written by the Tanaim. We're dealing with post-destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, so about the year 200 or so, but even prior to that, because you're dealing with rabbis before that, and those are the rabbis who put forth Mishnah. Mishnah is the principles of, well, taking Pesukim in the Torah, translating it into, so to speak, digestible Torah, right? So that's following that is what you deal with is Gemara. Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah. So the Mishnah took Torah Shebichtav, the Pesukim in the Torah, applied it, and then an interpretation of that with regards to what was once said orally is Gemara that comes afterwards. So this is Mishnah. We're going back 2,000 years. Of course it's more complex. Gemara is much more complex than Mishnah. Right, so the same way if you were to open, for example, to a Pesukim in the Torah, they seem more straightforward. But then you notice glaring difficulties. So the Mishnah takes the tradition and the interpretation of those Pesukim, breaks it down and gives you chunks of law and direction, different opinions. Gemara, which follows afterwards, is the interpretation of those Mishnayot, which ultimately speaking wants to tap you back into the Pesukim and the Torah. So this is Mishnayot. You're dealing with, in this first Mishnah, you're only ending with Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Anshei Knesset HaGedolah is really, for all intents and purposes, the last generation or the generation leading up to Mishnayot. Right? Anshei Knesset HaGedolah is second Beit HaMikdash time period. Second Beit HaMikdash time period, you're dealing with 2,000 years ago. That's when Mishnah begins. That's when these rabbis, Mishnah time period, post what we call Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, or kind of at the same time, developing at that time period. It happens to be a question in that introduction, very necessary for understanding this Mishnah, because it'll really touch at, I'll even begin before we talk about the questions that lie in this Mishnah, I'll begin with just asking the following question. What's the difference in your mind between Torah Sheba'al Peh and Torah Shebichtav? In other words, when I talk about having Torah, Moshe, and Yehoshua, Nevi'im, and I think about beyond Yehoshua, other prophets, and Ketubim, things that were written prophetically, what's the difference between that and Mishnah, where you have opinions like Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, and Gemara, where you have Rava and Abaye? The difference in a sentence really is that one is prophetic, so to speak, divinely inspired directly, and one's our interpretation of that. Now, of course, you're dealing with traditions that come in the interpretation, but fundamentally what you're dealing with when you talk about Mishnah and you talk about Gemara is our interpretation of a received tradition. We're no longer convening and speaking directly with God, so to speak, or even indirectly. We're removed. To put it in the words that we've put a lot in the past is revelation and sight is the Torah, is Moshe, is Yehoshua generation. Once you get closer to us, so you're no longer dealing with that reality. We're opening up, trying to listen carefully.
That's crazy. Like, there's so many of these, like, almost like change so much just from like how we view the Torah and like rabbi's interpretation.
Sure.
And there's so many.
Sure. So that's the challenge, ironically, that I believe the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avot is really dealing with. Like, we're putting it in a sentence or a paragraph already. I think that will underlie everything we're going to see in this Mishnah. It really explains, it translates what's going on in Pirkei Avot in general. It's a manual for, I'm giving you the punchline to the whole class, but then we'll get the message of it as well at the end. It's a manual for dealing with Torah as we know it, as you and I know it, post-time of prophecy, in a generation or generations in which nothing is direct and clear in the same way that it once was. That's really what we're dealing with in this, to give you an example, you know, it sounds crazy, it sounds confusing, but there's also, I just think about this a day or two ago, there's also a beauty to it. And the beauty, and I'm kind of developing this point as well before we even, you know, get into the Mishnah, the beauty to it is the following in terms of being a little bit removed. I have a student who loves, for one reason or another, Harry Potter. And so he said to me that when he read the books, that was, for him, the most fascinating, exciting time. So when he saw the movies, he said that it was ruined a little. I said, why is it ruined? Or bad movie? No, they're fantastic movies. I said, what are... said when he read the book, it was in his mind. It was his picture. It was his interpretation of it. The perception was in his hands, and he personalized it. Not that he, maybe he injected wrong, but it's hard to say it was wrong or right, unless you ask the author. But in other words, what he felt and what he experienced was a personal connection to it. When it was then portrayed by another, he kind of lost that creative, personalized side. So when you deal with, and that's why many people really, you know, attach themselves to the study of Torah. Study of Torah is not just, quote, the word of God zapped into you. It's the word of God as you're interpreting, as you're applying it, as you're making it your own. But there's dangers with that as well. And that's what I really think Pirkei Avot is all about. But to get to that point, give me a moment or two, because let's just go back and notice some discrepancies and some difficulties in this Mishnah, which will really bring us to, you know, fully crystallizing that idea. Because the Mishnah begins with the following difficult words. Firstly, it says, Moshe kibel Torah misinai. It says, Torah was received by Moshe at or from Sinai. That word, Sinai, means obviously Har Sinai.
Is that what they injected? Like, why is that interpretation? Why?
That's an interpretation. You're reading from the bottom?
Yeah, I mean,
that's an interpretation.
Yeah.
Oh, they're from the bottom. Yeah, yeah. From the mouth of God are not in, that's not in it.
Right.
But there's a difficulty. That's why they're putting those words
Wait,
there.
I have a question for
Go
you.
Ahead, of course.
Hashem wanted this, right? Hashem wanted a Mishnah in my
yeah.
life, all these interpretations.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I really, listen, there's no way of knowing per se, but he definitely wanted an oral tradition. Right? So he definitely wanted that. Did he want it, quote unquote, to develop the way that it did? Your guess is as good as mine. I'm giving you the silver lining of it, that I think there's a beauty to it, and I think it's, and I've said this more than once, I think it's what has sustained us as a nation. People always say, well, the Jewish people, against all odds, have been able to, it is against all odds, but I think it's because we lay such a focus on, you don't need to, living in Israel is important, but if you're not in Israel with the divine inspiration of prophecy, you're still connected to this. You still have a creative interpretation. So to a certain extent, this tradition, yeah, I believe this is God's will streaming through it. It's what sustains us and has sustained us. We find ourselves in it and have been able to build ourselves as a people and develop a relationship with God because we're not always, so to speak, watching the movie. We're reading the books as well. So, yeah, no, so these are great questions. These are fundamental questions. So the first Mishnah, that word, Beatrice, that word is difficult. Misinai is difficult because it's just a strange sentence. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. He didn't receive the Torah from Sinai. He received it from the mouth of God at Sinai. You might say Bisinai, which would also be funny. He received it at Sinai. Who cares about the location? It doesn't say in Yehoshua in the land of Israel, and it doesn't say... True as well, but you know, the rabbis will call it Sinai from time to time. You know, it was Midbar Sinai, but it's just, it's hard. And that's why in the bottom, there's actually several interpretations to it. Some suggest that the word Sinai is just a reference, so to speak, a name for God. You're referring to him as the Sinai voice. It's an interpretation. It's difficult. There are other interpretations. One of the most famous and often repeated interpretations, which will have its own difficulty, but we'll have to discuss that, is that Sinai is describing, it's so to speak like a derasha here in the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins by describing why and how Moshe received Torah. Moshe received Torah because he was like Sinai. Mi Sinai, from the merit of Sinai. What's Sinai? Well, the Midrash describes how Sinai was that lowly mountain. It wasn't, so to speak, haughty. It wasn't arrogant. It was very anav. It had a humility and a modesty. So too Moshe, for that he merited reception of the Torah. It's a nice interpretation. It has a little bit of support, so to speak, from the Torah, because the Torah at the end of Parashat Beha'alotecha, when God is rebuking Miriam and Aharon for speaking wrongfully about Moshe, he says to them, you guys think that you have prophecy like Moshe? You don't come close to him. I speak mouth to mouth. And then in the text it says, Moshe was the most modest, the most humble person. Moshe, anav, mikol, adam, he was the most humble person. It means that his connection to God is in some way attributed to his humility. So in other words, that interpretation to this Mishnah, Abar Benel and Ruach Hayim, others suggest this, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, Moshe's utmost and highest connection to God is attributed to him being like Sinai, his humility. What's the deeper understanding of that? Ruach Hayim suggests the following mashal, the following parable. He says, imagine, you know, you want to receive as much as you can, so you bring some sort of receptacle. If it's a thick receptacle, you're going to have less things inside of it because the walls of that receptacle, of that container, are bigger. The thinner the container, the more water and the more stuff you can put inside of it. So the idea being, if Moshe is going to prophetically receive from God, he's got to be completely disassociated from himself. If I want you to receive my message, I say to you, clear your mind of anything else. Don't think about yourself. Think about my words. Now, if you really do that, you're receiving my words. You're really comprehending. Moshe's humility is he didn't think about himself. He didn't have to channel this and funnel this through his own perception, his own drives. He just received it. That's the highest level of prophecy. It's disassociating from yourself, tapping into the God source. Do you follow? So that's a suggestion of many, Abar Benel and others, with regards to this receiving of the Torah of Moshe. It kind of follows, at least in my mind, as hinted in this entire Mishnah, because the Mishnah continues and then it tells us about Yehoshua, we know that name, and Yehoshua gives it to the prophets. Why not tell us the name of the prophets in the Mishnah? Where's Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu and Haggai and Zechariah and Malach? Where are all their names? Why are they not mentioned in our Mishnah? I wonder if that's a reference to the humility. Their name is left out of this. And then to the Zekenim, or beforehand to the Zekenim, and then even to Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, which is the closest to us. How many of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah do we know their name? The next Mishnah tells us one name, Shimon HaTzadik. We don't know many of their names. Almost as if the Mishnah continues, if you read it through this vantage point, through this lens, and it says, you want to know the greatness of all these people in the chain of reception? They didn't think about themselves. They kind of received it for what it was. So there's a deep message in that on its own. The only difficulty with that approach, which I'd like to really pose as an issue we can deal with, it's a nice side message. You know, in other words, if the theme of the Mishnah is humility, it doesn't kind of match the final lines, those three things that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah said. Shouldn't they have said, you know, first thing, be humble or something like that? Really follow through in the Mishnah. You know, there's this message. It's embedded. It's hidden in the text. Be humble. Moshe reached his high level because of his humility. Shouldn't it make an appearance throughout? Furthermore, if I'm reading it right, that when you're keeping the names out, you know, kind of shows a certain greatness. It shows an anonymity. I don't need to use my name. That's how I'm the greatest receiver of knowledge of God's word. Well, you go no further than the next Mishnah, and the rest of Pirkei Avot, every single subsequent Mishnah has the names of individuals. We learn the names of so many rabbis we wouldn't have known otherwise from Pirkei Avot. So the irony is, if that's the message, and I'm reading it right, it kind of doesn't follow. How does it fit the theme of this Mishnah? That's something I'd like For sure, but shouldn't it? You're right. I'm agreeing with you. If, and you're right, I have an assumption here, if the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were kind of alluding to the fact that they were great in not mentioning their name, it's not a strong question, but it's a question, why mention all the other names? Just teach me the laws. If you want to get across this lesson throughout this Masechet, say, and here's something, and here's another thing, and I'm not going to mention anyone's name, it's humility. It's not a strong question, per se. The other question, again, is why this Masechet, why Pirkei Avot begins with this chain of reception? We don't
establish the students, maybe establish students who are like you without names, but then if you're saying those rabbis,
or yeah.
Like you're on a higher level of that.
But again, if we're stressing and striving for humility, so let me put it in different words. If the point of that, and I'm accepting it, is humility, Sinai, shouldn't that be a theme, a recurring theme in Pirkei Avot? So again, the mention of names, it's not that they were not humble. It's just that, you know, it would have been so beautiful if I'm reading it right in that fashion that none of their names are mentioned. I could have told you a beautiful interpretation. Maybe it's not the reason. I'm going to suggest it is, and it matches perfectly. Give it a minute. Go ahead.
Now I'm like, I'm cutting the walls. In the Torah, it does say that Moshe was anav and humble.
Yes.
It's a very message in the Torah.
Sure.
So now maybe going back to Mishnah, Pekeavot, they don't deliver it as strong. They're trying to maybe get some type of other message along with it.
Yes.
So we do see that he's
anav. We do. And that's what I'm saying is the greatest support for this reading of the Mishnah. He got it at Sinai. You want to know why? Because he was Sinai. What does that mean, he was Sinai? He was humble. It's what the Torah tells us explicitly, and the rabbis are kind of repeating it here. I'm just saying we could teach that lesson and a commentary to the Torah. Well, we're teaching him Pirkei Avot as if that's going to be a message that's going to follow through, and it doesn't seem to, unless it does in some way. Yeshua's name is there because, again, it's Moshe and Yehoshua, so is Moshe's. Moshe and Yehoshua are the ones we know. The rest we're going to gloss over. You're right, but we're then going to really come alive with names after this. Again, the second question I have is why we're starting this of all Mishnayot. Again, it's Mishnayot. Why are we starting with the chain of tradition? So maybe the whole Masechet is about tradition and chain. It's not really. It kind of does work out that way, but it's not the point of this. The first tractate, the first Mishnah is Berachot. Shouldn't this have been at the very first, the top of the very first Mishnah? Tell me the train of tradition. So you'll see that the commentary on the bottom quotes from some who suggest to tell you that morals and ethics, although you can't pinpoint a pasuk, you know, we said Mishnayot are kind of teaching halacha from Pesukim, they also were received in tradition from Sinai. There's a nice message in that. Alternatively, maybe it's to tell you that the prerequisite to halacha is these ethics, and don't think anything different. So I'm going to tell you the tradition and the line of tradition before I tell you ethics, morality, being a good person, having fear of heaven, before I tell you the black and white, to tell you that too is part of our tradition. Two great approaches. I'd like to, in a moment or two, suggest something different. So that's the second question with many suggested answers as to why the Masechet starts with, the Pirkei Avot starts with this statement. So again, number one, what's with humility? Beautiful message, gorgeous, you know, lesson and take home in that to receive wisdom, to receive God's word. You need to be humble. But how does that fit the rest of this Mishnah? Second thing is, why are we starting this Pirkei Avot with a line of tradition, this what we call Shalshelet HaKabbalah, this chain of, you know, so to speak, the reception? The second is the third is a technical question here. If you look at the verbs that are used, they're a little bit inconsistent, or seemingly so. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. It starts with Moshe receiving the Torah, and then it says, Umesara liYoshua, and he handed it to Yehoshua. V'Yehoshua and Yehoshua handed it lizkenim. Uzkenim and the zkenim handed it to the Nevi'im. U'Nevi'im misaruah le'anshei Knesset HaGedolah. They handed it to Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Only by Moshe does it say he received it. So it either should say God handed it to Moshe, or say Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, v'Yehoshua kibel miMoshe, v'zkenim miYehoshua, etc. Right? There's something. True, but wouldn't you say the same thing about Yehoshua? Had he not received it, he couldn't give it over. And so to the Zekenim and the Nevi'im, etc. What's more is, you get the next Mishnah tells us about someone named Shimon HaTzadik. Okay, he was from Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Once you get past the second Mishnah, here's how almost all the Mishnayot in the first chapter begin. Antignos Ish Socho Kibel Mishimon HaTzadik. He received. The fourth Mishnah, Yosef ben Yoezer ish Seredav, Yosef ben Yohanan ish Yerushalayim, kibelu mehem. There's a kibelu, 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 kibel. It's all, so which one is it? Are we handing or are we receiving? You might say, it's not written with that much dikduk, Beatrice. Would you say that in English class? We don't. I'm certainly not going to say it in Mishnayot. There's a purpose, there's got to be a reason why we shifted the verb. Moshe got kibel. Everything after Anshei Knesset HaGedolah has kibel as well. What's that about? But what about everyone after Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? They're all kibel, kibel. Hand it over. Transmit it. Right. There's just an inconsistency in the verbs. This is what we do. I don't know that they learn it like this. I hope so. Yeah.
Between Yehoshua and Zekenim.
That is true. Yehoshua and Zekenim to Nevi'im have no verb either. It's assumed. Yehoshua to the Zekenim. It's a great question as well, which we can and will address as well. That's another question. And then lastly, I mean, let's pause for a second and notice that if this Mishnah is telling me about a chain of tradition, there's something off. It's the fact that it ends with three statements of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so Moshe had 613-plus statements. Yehoshua had many statements. The Nevi'im open up to the books of the prophets. They had messages galore. There's a kind of, we have messages all the time. And you think an Anshei Knesset HaGedolah only said three things? Like, what is with this Mishnah? The Mishnah is like, kind of, yeah, and this generation, imagine you're writing like a family tree, and this one to this one, and each one of them kind of, you just mention their existence. And then one of them you say, oh, and he taught three things. Nobody else taught things? It's almost as if the Mishnah is leading me to that final line. And that's the way I really want to begin the answer over here. And the approach is that this Mishnah is purposed to start me with Moshe, but lead me to Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who open up this whole Pirkei Avot for us. And what I mean by that is beginning now, back the way we began this whole class and conversation. Mishnah in Pirkei Avot starts with tradition all the way back when it was prophetically inspired directly. Moshe from God, Moshe then to Yehoshua, Yehoshua to Zekenim and the Nevi'im. What happened in any of those generations if they had a doubt? What if I wasn't certain? Is this permitted, this not permitted? Who'd they ask? They didn't ask rabbis, they asked God, right? In each one of these generations, you're dealing with the times where there was still prophecy. And as a result, this Mishnah is the crossover from the olden days to the way we know it now. It's the crossover from Nivuah to Chochmah. Remember, Raquel, you asked, is this what God wanted? It's from the way God had it originally to the way we know it. From a world in which everything was revealed, so to speak, there was no doubt. Matter of fact, we don't really have Mahloket. In the earlier generations, there weren't disputes. Gemara, Mishnah is all about disputes. You go back, and this is a point, it's in Masechet Hagigah, you go back to the earlier generations, no disputes. Want to know why? Because everything was revealed. Everything was prophetically received. It sounds a little less exciting, if you ask me. There's an excitement in revelation from God. It's less exciting. Where's the challenge? My interpretation, less classes, you know, less books being written and things of that sort, because there's not so many doubts, not so much to do in that respect. But what I'm saying is this Mishnah, I believe, I'm suggesting, is leading us to Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who begin a new generation. It's a generation that continued until today. And Anshei Knesset, the first ones who needed to have opinions. The first Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, it says it in the notes over here, the Gemara Masechet Berachot and Daf Lamed Gimel says, who were they and what did they do? They established order. They gave us Berachot and Kiddush and Havdalah. They gave certain objective realities in Halakha that we know today. Prior to that, that didn't really exist. They brought forth again the organized life in Halakha as we know it. Prior to them, didn't really exist that way. It means that as, again, beautiful and great potential as you have, starting with Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, again, this generation, about 2,000 years ago, where you begin living the life of, quote, darkness, but we're discovering it on our own, that's the most dangerous generation. That's the generation where I don't have the prophetic vision. I have doubts now. I'm uncertain of how to do this. Now I can give you inspiration, but you'll find yourself. But be careful finding yourself. Understand what's going to take place as you find yourself. So working backwards now, the Mishnah then was leading us up to that last statement. What's the whole Pirkei Avot we said? Pirkei Avot's about ethics, about morals, about fear of God, about an understanding of other people. What could be the biggest danger, the greatest and gravest danger to a person who is developing and understanding something independently? It's not seeing the world around you, God in your relationship, it's seeing yourself. You see, the Gemara has, for example, has a famous derasha. Rava has this derasha. The first mizmor in Tehillim says, "Ki im betorat Adonai hefzo," a person who's praiseworthy, his will and his passion is in the Torah. Uv torato yehege yomam vaylaila. The pasuk begins by saying the Torah of God, and it ends with his Torah, says Rava. Which one is it? Whose Torah? It starts off, it appears, it feels as if it's God's Torah. You study it, you went to a class, you thought about it, you developed it, it becomes your Torah. There's a beauty to that. It's my own, my understanding. I have an insight. I just sat at the Seder. All I begged my, they did it, but they didn't want to. I begged my children, I said, don't just say what you learned in school. That's beautiful. I want everyone, in addition to that, have your own question or insight. There's something beautiful to that. But the more you do that with the wrong lens and the wrong care and caution, the more you can get lost in that and become so much yours that you're not thinking about the other. You lose your relationship with God. You lose your relationship with people. You no longer have an appropriate humility, an appropriate approach to matters. I don't want you to any longer. I turn to my son and say, Rami, I want you to say your own thought. Oh, 1 second, but what my rabbi's thought was not enough? What you said is not enough? No, it is, but I want you to have your own. The second he does that, there's a glimpse, there's a glimmer for a moment of haughtiness that can creep in over there. There's a certain danger, but I want him to do that because we're no longer getting it directly from God. Do you follow the danger? So what I'm suggesting is to go in no order, no particular order. This first Mishnah led us, that was the punchline on that, to Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. They are the ones who now will open up the rest because they bring us to the life that we know it. They are our Moshe. Well, as a matter of fact, so much so, what's that?
You consider our rabbis
No, it was one generation. They wrote the Tefillot and the Berachot. It was one generation, so much so that the Gemara compares Moshe and Ezra. Ezra founded, to a certain extent, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. He was the next Moshe. He was the new generation Moshe. Right. He was the generation, I've done this in the past. If you look at where Ezra had, they used to have every 7 years something called Hakel. They used to gather everyone and read the whole Torah. You read the narrative in the Torah at the very end of Sefer Devarim, they would gather the men, the women, the children, they would read it. What type of reading? It was like a concert. You know, nobody necessarily, you listen to a concert, nobody's paying to too much attention to the words, understanding the message and every line. There's a beauty to everyone being together, having an emotional moment and listening to this song and experience. The Torah was experienced like that. Ezra's generation, the Pasuk says they translated it. And the Pasuk says further, this is in Sefer Ezra, and Pasuk says, and Vayavinu Bamikra, and the people understood it. New generation. It's no longer we're just hearing God's words and accepting it. It's God's word. It's, now you have to understand this. We have to translate it. So yes, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah put in a sentence is, our Moshe Rabbeinu, until today, they set forth those principles for us and how we're going to interpret it and how we're going to find ourselves. But there's a danger in that. The danger in that is you're going to lose perspective of what you're supposed to be developing. You're going to read Harry Potter as our Mashal earlier, and you're going to turn it into your own storyline. You lost the whole thing. But that's what I see in it. Yeah, but you're seeing yourself in it. You're not seeing anything greater than yourself. So Harry Potter, who cares if they mess that up? How are we dealing with the Torah over here? So what were their three messages? They had three messages. We're going in that order now. There are three messages which begin Pirkei Avot. Number one, message number one, if you're a teacher now in this generation, number one, Hevu Mitunim Bidin. Now, judgment is no longer, we don't know what to do, let's turn to God. Now judgment is, we don't know what to do, let me think about this. Here's what I think. You think? We never talked like that. Here's what I think. I'm going to be rash. I'm going to make my decision very quickly. I'm going to become full of myself. I'm going to be so certain in myself, in my perspective. Slow down. When you're now making judgments, you're no longer getting it prophetically and directly from God. Metunim b'din. Slowly, deliberate, careful. Next one. Ha'amidu talmidim harbe. This is a new generation. You can't just assume the next generation will get their own prophetic inspiration. We need many students. You need to be developing this. We're going to need to be growing this. We need to be feeding off of each other. We need to, it's by definition, is not at all like yesterday. Yesterday, we got it from God. I transmitted it to you. It was fantastic. You got it. And you would then hear it in one way or another prophetically, and we'd pass that on. can't do that any longer. Ha'amidu tamidim harbe, many students, many perspectives, many, well, the more voices you have, the more honest you are in this. People will check you with that. The statements in the Gemara, mi talmidai yoter mikulam, I learn from my students more than anyone else. There's a certain built-in something, keeping it honest and truth in that respect. And lastly, easiest to interpret in this respect, asusiat la Torah, you need to build a gate for the Torah. Earlier, it was the word of God. A gate for the word of God per se. We know, we just heard the word of God. You're gonna go against it, you're gonna be brazen and rash. Ah, I got it, you're not in this. But now that it's my own interpretation, maybe I was wrong about this, and maybe I'll cut a corner over here. Oh, the rabbi said it. Well, is that God's intention? Ah, come on. You now need gates for the Torah because of that mistaken, selfish, personal side, which is positive, but has a lot of dangers. When I say to my child, I want to hear your Dvar Torah at the table, and I want your questions, it can go to his head. He can be so determined that he's, quote, right, he can scoff at the whole tradition. He can do away with everything entirely. That's their messages. That's what starts Pirkei Avot. Everything that follows Pirkei Avot, it's why we learn it to a certain extent during this time period. It's for receiving the Torah. You're receiving the Torah and we need to interpret this Torah. But make sure that you have your mind and character traits and appreciation and approach set in place. Because if it's not, this will be catastrophic. It's not just an external word of God any longer.
So what's the answer?
I'm getting there. What, to the other questions? Which ones? All I answer. I didn't get there. All right, you like that one the most. Me too.
No,
I do too. I think it's the strongest question. But I think they're all great. Okay. So number one, that's their message. Number two, we were leading to that. I'm not up to Kibel yet. Number three, humility. So he said the whole stress is humility. And I said, but now everyone's names are mentioned. What happened to humility? That's the shift.
Yeah.
What was Moshe's greatness? I can receive God's word by taking myself out of it. Remember the example? I give you a container. The container has thick walls. You have less stuff in it. Thinner walls, more stuff in it. Moshe, the greater you will be at filling your mind, your heart, your soul with God's word, means the more you take yourself out of it. Guess what? God's not speaking directly to you any longer. So what do you need to do now? Now, ironically, in a scary way, I need you to be filling the container yourself. You don't want thin walls any longer. You need a little audacity. You need a little strength. I want to hear your opinion on this. My opinion? That's right, son, daughter. I want you to be telling me your opinion. I need to hear your voice, your name. So yes, the Mishnah starts with Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, and we suggested it was the humility at the core of the whole thing. And Zekinim, which Zekinim? I don't know. Zekinim, no name. Nevi'im, no name. We're not keeping it. Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, no name. After them, as they set forth the new reality, as they play the role of the new Moshe Rabbeinu, they say to their students, guys, you need to have your names. We need different opinions now. We have lots of doubt and we need people weighing in on this and we need to be careful with this. But we need your voice. We need, remember the words of Rava, ki im betorat anonai haifzo, it's now Torah dile. It becomes your own Torah. That's beautiful. I want you to read the book. I want you to interpret it your own way. But we need to do this with care and caution and precision.
Go ahead. Against the idea of establishing students. Because establishing students, like you said, yes, they could check you and whatever, but it's the idea of, like, we're the ones who know it now, and you're not getting it from anywhere else, so we have to give it to you.
Unless students are not purposed to be just receivers, they're to be part of the process. Again, the Gemara has this beautiful statement which says, I learned a lot of Torah from my friends, even more from my rabbis, the most from my students. The words of Rambam are that students are there to a certain extent to sharpen the teacher. They keep you honest. The more students I have, the more honest I am. A. B, now that it's not being prophetically received, I need to spread this. You're not just going to pick this up from a prophet any longer.
It's not about a central source, necessarily.
No longer is that. That's exactly the point. There's no longer a central source, and that's Talmidim Harbe. It's not less about you, it's about establishing, you know, study academies and things of that sort. Okay, so that could be the case as well. So again, so now we've then addressed why we're starting with this chain, because it's leading us to the whole conversation about ethics and morality. Always important, but most important, when you're injecting yourself into it. We established that's why they had that message. The Mishnah was really leading us to that. We established this shift from, well, you need to be humility, take yourself entirely out of it, to push your mind as much as you can into this, but be careful as you do so. Lastly, yeah, what's with the kibel versus misara? So the suggestion, this is grabbing from Maharal of Prague and making it our own, in light of our conversations we're supposed to do, right? But he suggests that it goes like this. The word kibel means, anytime you have kibul, it means receiving. Receiving means I need to try this on. I need to fit this to myself. I need to receive this in my hands. My hands are not big enough for this. I can't receive it. Receiving is focusing on the receiving end. Moshe gets the word of God, the first one, and the rabbis make a big deal out of this, who brings down the word of God completely and fully in the spiritual realm into this world. That's kibel. He, so to speak, needs to give clothing to this document known as God's word. Yes, he's got to be fully humble and just receiving God's, but at the end of the day, he's not getting the whole. He's speaking to God directly. There's a kibbeh. From Moshe onward, there's just misara. There's no kibul as direct. There's no doubts, as we said earlier. There's no disagreements. Anytime there's uncertainty, you kind of turn to the prophet and settle this. There's misara and there's passing and there's passing and there's passing until Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, what happened at this generation? No longer prophecy. What are we doing at this point? Everyone's receiving and trying it on and fitting it to themselves and interpreting as well as they can. There was as well, if you recall in the Mishnah, I think Barbara pointed this out, it said like this, Moshe kibel Torah misinai, umisara li Yehoshua. Then it said, Yehoshua, there's kenim, levim, neveim, and only then, misarua. That's right. There was a seamless handing over one to the other until, I'm checking this, the end of seamless handing over. That's why we wrote it like that. From now on, we need everyone to stand up and speak their mind. The rest of Pirkei Avot is people speaking their mind, their principles, but injecting and understanding and realizing the ethics and morality are the only way we're going to get this right. The lesson, and there are many, to be learned from this, in addition to the mode and method of receiving Torah and understanding it, the way I personally identify with this Mishnah, again, important, with trepidation, is in the context of parenting. Because I think that we make mistakes as parents sometimes, or oftentimes, believing that we are the God handing it down to our children. No doubt about it, I'm telling you the way this is. This is what it is, and there's no conversation. I know best, and as a result, this will be a seamless transmission from me to you, forgetting and not realizing that we also, not also, moreover, want our children to be endowed with a certain self-confidence, a certain self-identity, a certain creative side, a capacity in which, yes, they are filled with messages, morals, ideals and missions, ambitions that we gave them, but they're now crafting it as their own. So it means that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, so to speak, is the mature period in our children's lives. When they're younger, so yeah, we're nursing them. We're giving it to them directly. There's no room for many questions. At a certain stage, well, now we turn to our child and we say, but what do you think? And we need to recede a little from that. But as we do so, we inject them with morals, with ideals. Pirkei Avot then continues, but Anshei Knesset HaGedolah began that. They gave us a structure, and they said, here's what you need to know as you set out and interpret this. Amidu tamidim harbeh, right? Hevu metunim bedin, asu siag la Torah. We want our children, we need our children to do this with care and precision. We need the ideals, the things that we've spent our life developing personally from our parents, from our community, from... We have so much that we want to give them, but the way in which we give it to them is very significant. Are you giving it to them as misara, misira, there's no question, it's direct, I'm the oracle and this is the way to have it? or is it as a Kabbalah? Are they being mekabel? They're taking it. They're fitting it on. Now, as there is Kabbalah, which I believe is the way we can and must parent forever, but certainly today, there needs to be, as we do so, not carte blanche, not turn to the child and say, so now go out and figure it out. But there are principles, there are morals, there's directions, there's playing the role of a mentor, understanding that even as you're doing your own thing, but maybe I can be the teacher at times, or maybe I can explain to you the direction, but I want you to sharpen me. I want to have a conversation about this, right? At Mishnah and Pirkei Avot, then, and there's an irony to this as well, it's known as Pirkei Avot, the ethics of the fathers. Not that I think it's really teaching us that, it means the fathers of our tradition, but it has a parenting message as well. And the parenting message, in a sentence, is the same way that the Torah, at a certain point, in terms of transmission, took a turn, from being out in the light and clear and pristine and went into the darkness. You had to read the book and interpret it yourself. And there was something very positive in that, in the respect that it became my own. Oh, that's great. Now it speaks to me. Until now, it was God's word. I accepted it, but I didn't understand it. Well, now it's your own. Now it's your own questions, your own interpretations, your own disputes, conversations, and all that sort of business. So it's with our children, right? We kind of have to have that balance between, I'm giving you Mesira. There's certain non-starters. This is what we are and what we stand for. But at the same time, I'm not giving you all the guidelines. I'm not opening up and explaining every detail because I want you to figure that out and ask questions and interpret it independently. So Pirkei Avot then begins with this time of absolute humility, receiving God, childhood, so to speak, and then continues with a Kabbalah, a reception of the Torah, a time during which it's important that you find yourself in it, but you find yourself carefully, with caution, with precision, with a certain appropriate humility coupled with an independent mind. I'm interpreting this. Son, daughter, I want you to interpret this. I want you to see this. Don't just turn to me for everything. What happens when I'm not there? What happens if I don't understand your situation properly? So I want to be the mentor. I want to give you those ideals. I want you to talk about all that. And I want you to be careful as you do this. But I know you need to interpret this on your own. It's been the key to our sustained, nationhood. And I believe that the most healthy, and I'm no parenting expert, but I believe the most healthy children and developed adults even are the people who were reared and raised in homes which have that careful balance between Mesira and Kabbalah, in which the parents do and have given and endowed their children with ideals and morals and things of that sort, but at the same time then said to them, all right, now on Shekinah Togadallah world, now go out and figure this out and challenge it in an appropriate, confined mode. So hard. It's the listen, we all know it as parents, and we all know it as people who live in this world. So hard to carefully balance it, but when we overcompensate one way over the other, we destroy things. When we believe and determine we're going to tell you what to do, or I'm not telling you anything, we destroy their lives. So there's that delicate, careful balance. Listen, Torah is so hard. For a person to study Torah, God's word, you want me to interpret it? Yeah. And then it's not going to go to my head? Well, that's the care. That's the caution. That's Pirkei Avot. It's difficulty in raising children. It's difficult in experiencing. I'll just conclude with this. We had a babysitter when we lived in Washington Heights some 15 years ago. She happened to, we didn't know it when we hired her. It was okay. She was like a devout, devout Christian. So she, at one point, she said to me, when did you get your calling? Until today, I don't know exactly what that means. But then I asked her to explain what she means. She says, well, I have everything divinely inspired. I go to sleep and I feel God and He's speaking to me and so on and so forth or whatever. I said, we have a very different religion. I said, I didn't have a calling. I kind of, you determined on your own? There was no divine calling to you? I said, I don't even understand what you're talking. It's a Jewish, Am Yisrael thing. We don't have that. It's not that Moshe didn't have it. It's that we don't have that. And there's nothing negative. If anything, there's a certain positivity I found, and we find ourselves in this, and we attach, and we make it relevant and meaningful to us in ways that others could never understand. It comes with its dangers inherent to injecting yourself, finding your own name, but it comes again with that bountiful and beautiful dividends of, well, now it's meaningful. Now it makes sense to me. Now I can sustain myself and my nation, my family, for years to come with this perspective. All right.